Okay. Good morning, everyone. Wow, I think people are full with energy. I hope you actually walk out much more energized after the presentation today. And my name is Prabhu. I'm a program manager working on the Data Protection Manager product. I've been fortunate to have been working on DPM since its V1, which happened in DPM 2006, all the way up to DPM 2012. Now, other than DPM, I also own the backup technology shipping in the box with every copy of Windows, be it client or server, in Windows backup, system image backup, and also Windows Server backup. So I've been a backup guy pretty much for the last 6+ years, and I'm very happy today to be presenting DPM 2012 and what's new that you can actually see in System Center 2012 with DPM.
And I'm Rob Willis. I'm also a program manager in the System Center team. I'm actually part of the Solution Accelerator team, so we focus on solutions that span all of the System Center components in 2012.
So today we'll be spending a short amount of time, say 10, 15 minutes, giving an introduction to what DPM is all about and what value it actually gives to you right in DPM 2012, which has been there even in DPM 2010. So first 10, 15 minutes we'll spend understanding DPM, the value prop around Exchange SQL and various other protection, and then we'll be spending the bulk of the time on what's new in DPM 2012, right? And hopefully the takeaway that you will be able to walk out with that you can actually go ahead and protect your private cloud with DPM. So, Rob.
So just by a show of hands, how many people in the room are currently using DPM? Okay. Okay, it's a pretty good number. So we're just going to start with an overview of where we are today, and the goals of this particular technology, and focus on the specific advantages we have on some of the key workloads that we protect. So Data Protection Manager is Microsoft's solution for continuous backup and protection specifically for the Microsoft workloads. So key workloads, Exchange, SQL Server, SharePoint, Windows Server File System, as well as Windows clients. We are a disk-to-disk-based backup technology, so up to every 15 minutes, we have the ability to take block-level changes of those workloads, disk to disk, and protect those to the Data Protection Manager server. We also have the ability, optionally, to go to tape. So you can use DPM disk to disk and to tape, or we can also integrate with third-party tape capabilities. And then we have a disaster recovery scenario where you can further protect your primary DPM server with a secondary server in an off-site location, so you get full disaster recovery capabilities. So let's look at some of the highlights specifically for the workloads that we protect. Starting with Hyper-V. One of the key advantages of DPM is that we only do a full backup one time. The very first time you protect a data source, we take a full copy of that data, and that is the only time we take that full backup. Everything after that is incremental block-level changes to the data source, so in this case, a Hyper-V VM. Everything is online, that we have no requirement to take anything down during that backup, so there is no more backup window. Everything continues running while the backup is actually occurring. Everything is kept consistent through the VSS service, so both the VM and data sources within a VM on Hyper-V are kept consistent using the VSS service of Windows. We have the ability to protect live migration VMs in clusters. And although we protect the entire VM, you have the ability to recover at an item level within that VM. So if I just need to recover a specific file or a folder or a group of files from within VM, I don't have to recover the entire VM. I have the ability to just pick those specific items and recover those directly. And we also have the ability to automatically protect new VMs as they're provisioned to your Hyper-V servers or your Hyper-V clusters. So you protect the server, you protect the cluster, and as new VMs are added, those will automatically be added to backup. On SharePoint, and in my experience, this is one of the most common workloads that we find our customers want to use DPM to protect. We protect the entire farm through a single checkbox. So you don't necessarily have to be aware of all of the databases, the servers that make up your SharePoint farm. You just say, "I want to protect SharePoint," DPM will take care of the rest of it for you. If there are any kind of failures within that farm during a backup, it doesn't fail the backup. So if you've got a content database that's offline or a database server that's offline, DPM will just continue and protect everything that it can actually get to. And similar to Hyper-V, we have an item level recovery capability within SharePoint. So I can take a single item from a SharePoint content database and recover that back to my SharePoint farm. And there's been some developments in that area that we'll touch on a little later as well. Exchange, we understand all of the different types of Exchange implementation. So whether your Exchange implementation is standalone, if you're using clusters, or any of the various high availability options that Exchange has, we understand all of those and can protect all of those appropriately. We also offload the processing of ESC util, so we actually run that on the backup set, so that actually takes some load off of your Exchange service. And from recovery, we have the ability to recover a storage group, a database, or an individual mailbox through the recovery storage group capability in Exchange. SQL, again, one of the key workloads that a lot of our customers use DPM for. We support both express full, so snapshot-based backups of that database, and then incrementals between snapshots. So we take the log files from SQL and actually transfer those on up to every 15 minutes between express full backups so that we get incremental backups as well. We understand the data source. So one of the key advantages we have is that we really understand the technology, the data source that we're protecting. So if we're doing incremental backups, we actually truncate the logs when we ship those on that 15-minute increment between express full snapshots. But if your database is set up for log shipping, we understand that and actually won't truncate those logs. So we won't actually do an incremental backup for log shipping because that interferes with the configuration of that database. We have the ability to recover then to any one of those 15-minute increments. We actually also have the ability to do a recovery to any specific point in time during that. So you don't have to protect or recover on those 15-minute increments. You can say, I want to go back to my last express full and then choose exactly where through that backup set you want to recover to. And we have the ability to recover that database to an original location, recover it to an alternate database server, recover it to a file system, any of those recovery types that you want. We also have the ability to protect entire instances of SQL. So rather than say, these are the databases I want to protect, you can say, I want to protect this SQL instance, and as your DBAs add new databases to that instance, we'll automatically protect those as they're added. Clients, so we added the capability for client backup. One of the key differences with clients is we don't expect them to be constantly connected. So there's an awful lot of corporate data, valuable data, that resides on laptops. We know a lot of customers have a policy that says if you have data on your personal machine, on your laptop, it is your responsibility to back that up. We also know that the vast majority of users, and I'm guilty of this, don't do that for themselves. So it's really critical to make sure that data on those laptops, on those client machines, is protected as well. There's a lot of customization you can do here, so you can define centrally what needs to be backed up. You can also define what shouldn't be backed up, and you can choose to allow the end user to customize that themselves as well. So if they want to add new locations to their backup set from their own personal machine, you can give them the ability to do that. We actually do a local snapshot as well as a snapshot, a connection to the DPM server when that machine's online. So even if an end user is offline, disconnected for an extended period of time, we're doing local snapshots of that data so they can actually recover from that local snapshot themselves, even without a connection to your network. If they don't get a network-based protection for a certain period of time, we have the ability to alert you to that fact as well. So let's talk a little bit about disaster recovery. The scenario here is I've got a primary site, I've got a disaster recovery site, and I'm using a second level DPM server for DR at that offsite location. And there's a couple of different scenarios. So maybe, you know, really disaster has happened, I've lost that entire first site. In that case, we have the ability to first recover directly from that secondary DPM server to the rebuilt servers once you have those servers available either in your DR location or an alternate location. Then we also have the ability to recover the DPM server. So you don't have to recover the primary DPM server and then recover the data. Obviously, what's critical is getting that data back into production as quickly as possible. So you recover to the disaster recovery servers, then recover your primary level DPM server so you can continue back up from there. Another scenario is where you've lost your primary DPM server. Right? So if you've got some kind of hardware failure, something's happened to that primary DPM, with a single click, we have the ability to take the backup from the original data sources and redirect that to be backed up directly to the secondary DPM server. So you don't lose any kind of backup while that primary DPM server is available. Then once you've recovered that server, we restore the DPM database to that and switch the backup back to that primary DPM server. There's a couple of different instances and scenarios for DR. Actually, one of the things I want to mention here is there is a orchestrator integration pack for Data Protection Manager with Orchestrator 2012 that allows you to automate some of the recovery. So if I'm doing single item recovery, it's relatively easy to just go into the DPM console and do that. But if I want to automate site recovery for an entire, let's say, for example, an entire set of VMs or an entire set of databases, I can use the Orchestrator integration pack and create a runbook that would actually, with a single click, go back and automate recovering all that set of data. So you can pretty significantly improve your DR scenario using that integration through Orchestrator. DPM for disaster recovery is very cost effective. You don't necessarily have to have additional DPM servers to do it. You can back up one DPM server to another, so server A to server B, but then also protect server B with server A. So if you've got multiple sites or multiple DPM servers, you can use them in one-to-one scenarios or even kind of a mesh to make sure that you have multiple levels of backup in each case. So just to recap, DPM is by far the best way that we have to protect Microsoft-specific workloads, disk to disk, including the optional capability to go to tape, and then disaster recovery through secondary level DPM servers. So let's talk about what's new in 2012.
Thanks, Rob. So the key feature in DPM 2012 is centralized management. I know that many of you have been, having a DPM deployment, having three DPM servers, four DPM servers, and looking at, hey, can I go to 10, 20, 30 DPM servers? And I was talking to a gentleman who was actually just before the session started, and he was actually saying, if I make a switch from a third-party solution, I'm looking at backing up 75 terabytes of data. And can I do that and manage it effectively with DPM? So with DPM 2012, we have centralized management, and we'll be spending a good amount of time today in doing demos around centralized management. Other than centralized management, we have done key improvements in the infra that the DPM has, namely certificate-based protection. So if you have a machine that is actually on a domain that is actually not trusted or on workgroup, you can go ahead and, with DPM 2010, you could have just set up the passwords and then kind of manage it. With DPM 2012, you can actually use certificates and then still back those servers up. So certificate-based protection is something new here. And for those people who are using DPM for tape-based backups, we have much intelligent co-location. So this is going to help you have better, economies of scale when it comes to tape, because we can put more backups onto the single tape. So that's a key feature that we have actually done. Lastly, we are also partnering with a bunch of DDO vendors. One such example is NetApp, and you'll actually see a white paper that will actually come out to say how you can actually use a DPM in conjunction with a NetApp DDoP appliance. Lastly, we actually have workload enhancements, and one of the key enhancements we have actually done is, if you're having a SharePoint farm that is protected using DPM, you can actually go ahead and do an item-level recovery that is very much optimized without moving the entire database. And you'll also have a couple of other features in terms of generic data source protection, which can help you protect stuff that you didn't see on the slide deck. So you saw Exchange SQL SharePoint. You can actually protect other line of business applications as well with that particular support. And of course, you can actually have item level recovery for Hyper-V. Rob was talking through that. You can do that even if DPM itself is running as a virtual machine on Hyper-V. That's a new feature. So let's actually get deeper into centralized management. And so when we actually talked to you about a year and a half back, and we asked what is it that centralized management should be, I think some of you actually told, in very blunt terms, hey, you don't even need to ask me whether I need centralized management. Give it, and you give me just one console. I don't want you to make compromises, excuses. You can go up to 20 DPM servers, 10 DPM servers. I don't want any of that. And you do that in a way where you come and integrate with the other system center products that I already have for monitoring my environment, right? And you can do it all from a single place, and it should significantly reduce the time that you spend in managing your backups. So I'm happy to share with you that with DPM 2012, you can go all the way up to 100 DPM servers being managed using a single console. So that's one console for your entire data center, right? And
so how much data is that? I mean, do you have any kind of examples of customers that are using that?
So we actually have customers outside of Microsoft who are at around 40, 50 DPM servers. In fact, internally within Microsoft, MSIT has got 89 DPM servers being monitored using a single console of centralized management as of today. So that's what we have. An entire MSIT has got a reduction of almost 70% in their tickets by using the features of centralized management.
Very good.
So that's about having a single console, right? Then we actually looked at how do I reduce the time and cost of managing your backups. And we'll actually see a lot of demos here. I think the three key principles on which we designed centralized management was, A, you first reduce the number of tickets that is getting generated in an environment. So you start by reducing the number of alerts, and we do it through consolidation. We do it through SLA-based alerting. For example, if you are running backups once every 15 minutes, would you want to jump on each and every failure that happens? Or would you want to jump on it only if backups have failed continuously for more than an hour or a couple of hours, right? So you can actually go ahead and set your SLA. So with alert consolidation and SLA-based alerting, we actually reduce the number of alerts that actually come in. Secondly, you'll see it in the demo that we actually allow you to do all the troubleshooting, all the corrective actions right from central console. You don't need to go to the DPM server ever again, hopefully, fingers crossed, right? Hopefully you never need to go to the DPM server ever again if you're looking at managing, troubleshooting, and keeping your backups running. So those are the two key principles, and also to be able to do it where you can delegate it to a person in your team who need not be a DPM admin. So the third principle is actually role-based access. So through role-based access, you can actually delegate what each one of your team member can do with respect to the DPM server. So all of this is actually driven through Operations Manager, and Operations Manager forms the platform for centralized management. It's not a UI on which we have a management pack. You'll see the rich examples in our demos. It's a platform on top of which we have actually built centralized management. Okay, so today we are going to be spending some time with Contoso. And what does Contoso currently have? So Contoso currently has around, say, 30,000 protected objects. Now, what are those protected objects? They can be SQL databases, Hyper-V VMs, Exchange DBs, shares on file servers. Each one of them is a protected object. And all of them are sitting on about roughly 2,000-odd Windows servers. And those are getting backed up using 80-plus DPM servers. Now, this is getting monitored using Operations Manager today, and there is also a ticketing system on top of Operations Manager to which the ticketing is actually flowing. And how does who are the teams who are actually running the show behind the scenes? We actually have a help desk that is actually centralized and common. We actually have a tier one support where you'll actually meet Susan and about 14 other people there. We'll be actually looking at one of the examples of how Susan's day actually looks like. And we also have Debbie in our escalation team who actually looks at tickets that are escalated. We have Todd, who's a recovery operator. Luckily, he has got other jobs other than just doing recovery. But when it comes to the backup product, he is the single point of contact for recoveries. People wanted to have control over what data is getting recovered for compliance reasons. And Mike and Mark are the backup administrators who are actually running the show. How does a month look like for them? They have around 1,000 plus incidents generated per month, and roughly 10% of them get escalated, which translates to about 100 incidents per month. And there are 15 recovery requests that actually come per day. Now, the 15 number is actually very high. Nobody actually does 15 recoveries, and the environment is pretty much screwed up if it's so bad, right? But here, most of the recoveries that are happening are for compliance purpose, test, dev, those kind of recoveries. And the central IT team is actually having to support those kind of recoveries. So let's actually start an example of how data actually gets recovered using Todd. So Todd here has actually got a ticket assigned to him saying that, hey, can you go ahead and recover a particular database? What does Todd do today? What Todd does today is he actually goes ahead and looks into an Excel file. The Excel file essentially has got the list of all the databases, protected objects in his environment, all the 30,000 of them. He searches for which DPM server is currently having that database. He does a remote access to the DPM server and then starts a recovery. Now, in a sunny day, if things are really, really looking good, you can actually start the recovery in about 5 minutes. That's pretty much what time it actually takes. In case, you know, it takes longer. Now, let's look at why it may take longer. Now, we talked about the partial, we talked about the Excel sheet that has got the list of databases. How did that come into existence? Todd actually has got a script that is maintained by the backup team, grovels all the DPM server, gets the mapping of the databases, and he actually goes ahead and looks into the Excel sheet. So if that script fails to run, if he's not able to get a free RDP session, one of those, you're looking at, you know, him spending more than an hour just figuring out what went wrong and how I can actually start a recovery. So let me actually go ahead and show you how recovering a data source can actually look like with centralized management using DPM 2012. So this is Operations Manager, or rather the central console for DPM. So I'll be using the word SCOM console, central console, and Operations Manager console. All it means the same thing. And here, if I scroll down, you can actually see the System Center Data Protection Manager management pack. And I can actually go ahead and open this up. And I can actually look at all the DPM servers that I am actually having, that I'm monitoring using the centralized management. I can actually go ahead and look at all the protected servers that are being backed up by DPM and look at the health state of them. I can go ahead and look at all the data sources for which backups have failed. And if I'm a monitoring guy, essentially I'll actually come and look here to say, here are the data sources for which the backups have actually not happened. And if I'm actually having a mature environment, rather than looking at the data sources that failed, I will actually go ahead and collapse this. I'll open my alert views, and I'll actually go ahead and look at my alerts to see, hey, what are those databases or what are those alerts for backups? Now, if you actually see here, you can actually see that out of the box, centralized management helps you prioritize what alert you need to work on. So we are not only giving you the alerts in all of the DPM servers, we are actually helping you categorize and prioritize the alerts. So here, you're seeing a view where I'm looking at only those alerts that are affecting the backups of multiple data sources. So if I'm starting my day's work, here is where I'll actually come and start my day's work, right? And on the right side, you can actually get all the actions available, and you'll see a bunch of actions coming here from the DPM management pack itself. So this is my central console. So now let me actually go ahead and tell you how recovering data with Todd actually looks like. So here in this particular UI, I'm logged as Todd. I actually am in Service Manager. I have a ticket that is actually open. And this ticket essentially tells me I need to go ahead and recover the stock trader database, right? I simply copy the name of the database from my Service Manager. I go to Operations Manager, paste it here, and I click on search. I get the SQL data source, stock trader. I actually kind of verify that this is exactly the one that I'm actually interested in. and then I simply go ahead and say recover data source. Now, hopefully within a few seconds, you will actually see that at this point, what we are doing behind the scenes is we understand what you actually selected, and there you have it within like about 10 seconds or so. Already the stock trader DB is selected for me for recovery. I can simply right click this. I can choose a point in time if I actually want. I can right click that and then start my recovery. So, and I can press next. I can give all the advanced options. I can do original location, alternate location. I can do all that. So what you saw here was, you know, in a single click, I just searched, I clicked on recover data source, and I'm kind of done. So let me actually go back to the slide and look at what we actually saw here, right? So you don't need to do any RDP here. That's the key point. You didn't have to log on to the DPM server. And whatever you selected in centralized management got seamlessly transferred to the DPM server. So the context is not lost. And we know that you're trying to recover a data source, and we do it seamlessly.
So let me just make sure I understand, because DPM before now, I used to have to create a remote desktop session to the DPM server, log onto that server again, bring up the DPM console, and if I've got other backup administrators in my company, I have to make sure they're not already in there so I don't kick them out. I don't have to do that anymore?
No more RDP.
Okay. And the other thing there was you went to another session that was logged on as Todd, the recovery operator. He wasn't a DPM administrator.
Let me show that again. Right? This is actually a good question. So we actually talked about role-based access. So in this UI, if you actually see, since Todd is, let me actually press cancel here. Since Todd is actually a recovery operator, if I actually go ahead in the protection UI, you'll see that I'm not getting any of the other options. It's completely locked down. The only thing that Todd can actually do is to do a recovery. And this is all actually controlled in Operations Manager. This is not actually something you need to come to each individual DPM server and do. Let me actually show how that is actually going to look like. Let me minimize this. Okay. So this is the administrator console. If I actually go to the administrator console here, here you can see out of the box, DPM has actually integrated with Operations Manager and is giving you 8 roles out of the box. It goes all the way from a read-only operator to the DPM admin, and in between you have a tier 1 support, tier 2 support, you have a tape administrator, tape operator, a recovery operator, and so forth. And all of these roles are existing in Operations Manager. So all that you need to do is double-click the role, add the people you want to into the Operations Manager role. DPM seamlessly understands the roles inside Operations Manager, and it actually makes sure that the access control is honored, irrespective of whether you're using Ops Manager UI or the DPM console that actually opened up.
So I assume I can also customize this further. So if I want to have a recovery operator that can just do SQL databases and somebody else that can just do Exchange, because of the delegated capability and Operations Manager, I can do that.
It is possible using multiple views.
Oh, good.
Okay. So let me actually go back to the presentation here. Okay. So the next scenario which I want to share with you today is how you can actually resume backups. Now, resume backups is actually one of the new features that we actually have in DPM 2012. Now, what has actually happened is that last night there was actually a power surge, and it actually knocked off the power from a bunch of servers. Let's assume that the backups actually have actually failed, and there have been tickets that have been raised, and Susan essentially needs to resume the backups for all of those databases. And what Susan is waiting for is essentially a thumbs up saying that the servers are back online. You can actually go ahead and start the recovery. And since these are important servers, she needs to report back on the progress of that particular ticket once every couple of hours. So this story might look a little familiar since you actually looked at the story that Todd actually had. So what Susan actually does is she actually logs on to the DPM server. She needs to isolate the failures corresponding to these 10 servers. And then she needs to figure out what are the databases for these SQL servers, how do you resume the backups for them. If everything goes good, you're looking at spending just 30 minutes for each server. If things go bad, you actually spend a lot of more time. Now let's actually look at how you can do the same scenario with the DPN 2012. Okay, I'm going to go to the monitoring UI here, right? And I'm essentially looking at all the alerts affecting multiple data sources. Here, one of the alerts that are there is the active node is actually not found, and this alert actually corresponds to the SQL database failures that have actually happened. Now, what I'm actually going to do is, I actually have a button here. Let me go ahead and open that up. Okay. Which is view the affected items. So I, as an operator sitting on operations manager console, I now have a way in which I can look at what are all the databases on the DPM server that have actually failed corresponding to this alert that we actually see here.
So one alert, not an alert per database, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So if you actually see here, there's a bunch of databases that have actually failed the failed backups. So if you're using DPN 2010, each one of those failures would have resulted in a ticket or an alert. Now with DPN 2012, you have alert consolidation. And if you actually notice, this is a window that actually opened up. This is not a console. This is not even a remote console. Mm-hmm. This is a native dialog that is actually popping up right from Operations Manager because we have used Operations Manager more as a platform rather than just a management pack, right? And here, I have a button called as Resume Backup. All I need to do is just click Resume Backup, and we'll figure everything out. Right. What databases got affected by this particular failure, what state they are in, whether replica is invalid or valid, does a consistency check need to run. We will figure all that out, and you can do it in a single click.
But you don't know that that's going to work yet. You haven't actually solved the problem, right? You've still got a bunch of database servers that could be down. You don't know yet.
You're right. So what you're saying is true, because the SQL team actually might tell me that, hey, the servers are back up and running, why don't you start the backups, right? And you just click on this single button, all 100 backups start running, and all 100 fail, that's not what you want. So what we have actually done is the ability for you to just do a test backup. So you can actually pick one of those 100 items that actually failed, and you can just say resume the backup for this single item, right? And now, without me leaving my central console, as an operator, I have the ability to actually go ahead and resume backup for a single database. Now, So here you can actually see that a UI that opened up is the jobs UI, and now you have the ability to monitor the jobs that you have kickstarted across of all the 100 DPM servers in this one single UI. So here you can see the progress of what resume backup or any other action that you actually triggered. Hopefully, if this actually goes through, I can actually go ahead and see that this will actually succeed. It'll take another 30 seconds for it to actually refresh. Once I see that the data has started moving, I know that the problem is resolved. And once I know that the problem is resolved, I can actually go back to my UI and just click on resume backup for the entire alert. Now it's going to run the backup for all the 50 or the 100. And of course, in case you're actually wondering, here you actually see that the previous backup job succeeded, and now you actually have the ability where you can see four are in progress for that particular alert. And this is actually filterable, so if you're actually having a backup team, you want to look at only jobs triggered by you, you can do that. If you want to see jobs only that are in progress, you have rich filtering capability to customize to your needs. Okay, so let me actually go ahead and minimize that. And okay, so let's actually take a minute to look at what we saw. So what you saw was consolidation of alerts. So you didn't have 100 alerts, you actually had only one alert. You could do a test backup, and then with a single button, you could actually go ahead and do a recovery. You can actually resume the backups.
All from within the context of that one console, not by going to multiple different DPM servers?
Yes.
Okay.
So far, we are kind of holding good on the promise of no more RDP, right? So you didn't have to do an RDP if you needed to do a recovery. You didn't need to do an RDP if you are actually just troubleshooting an alert. If you want to resume backups for an alert, you actually didn't do it. Now, some people might be wondering, what if I want to get deeper into an alert? Like, I actually want to look at a history of a particular set of alerts, right? Mm-hmm. So that brings up, that brings us to the scenario where there's an escalation. So let's assume that we actually have a backup that has failed. And this you might see in your environment that backups have actually failed multiple times in the week. And the SQL team is like, hey, you know what? I entrusted you to actually do the backups for my server. Backups have not happened. You are responsible. Go fix it up. And as a backup team, you're essentially looking at, hey, you know what? If your SQL DB is offline, there is nothing that I can do. You bring the DB online, and I can actually start the backup. And this actually goes back and forth. So if that particular ticket is getting escalated, what's the data I'm going to look at as an escalation engineer? I would want to look at, hey, how often is this issue happening? What are all the times in which that issue has actually happened? And what are all the servers in which it has actually happened? So the usual flow actually happens here. If you're using DPM, if you're using the previous version where you didn't have a centralized management, you needed to go through multiple steps. And you would do, you know, filtering, searching across of multiple tabs, and finally you will end up with a data that says, hey, these five databases have been having issues. The issue has happened four times, and these are the times at which that particular issue has actually happened. So that's what you'll actually end up with. Now let's actually look at how simple and easy it is with DPM 2012. Okay, so I'm going to go to Service Manager console, and I'm going to look at escalated incidents. Okay, that's good that there's nothing that is actually escalated here. Okay, let me actually go ahead here. Okay. So I see a ticket which is, you know, there is a VSS infra error, and if you're actually using DPM, you'll actually see that the SQL VSS writer had an issue, and then the backups have actually failed. Right, that's exactly what this particular error is. Let me actually go ahead and copy this particular ticket ID here. IR3785, okay. And if you actually see here, you should actually have the same ticket ID here. I could have searched for it here. Since I have only one alert at this particular point, it's much easier. So I just look at, this is the ticket that I'm kind of working at, right? And if you remember, I'm looking to troubleshoot and zoom in into a single failure that actually happened. So what I do here is I select the alert and click on troubleshoot alert. Now what happens behind the scene is we are actually finding out this particular alert, which might be a consolidated alert. What are all the alerts it is corresponding to on the backup side, on the DPM server? And we'll actually bring to you not a remote console that you saw, but a scoped console. This is a console where you're seeing the alerts only for those three databases which are sharing the same root cause.
So the yellow bar on that screen, that's new. That I haven't seen that in DPM before.
So this is one of the neat integrations that we have actually done to bring the knowledge of Operations Manager and Service Manager into the DPM console. So if you're actually having a ticketing system or just Operations Manager, if you're selecting an alert and you say troubleshoot an alert, we know which alert you're coming from in Operations Manager. And this context bar, as we actually call it, in fact shows you what ticket ID that you're actually working on, which is that SCOM alert monitor that actually turned red, which actually caused this alert to actually come in the first place.
So I've got information on this one screen from Service Manager, from Operations Manager, and from Data Protection Manager.
Exactly.
System Center working as one product.
Exactly.
Very good.
Right? And if I actually go to the protection UI, well, there might be, you know, hundreds of databases on that SQL server. What I actually see here are only those three databases which are sharing this particular symptom. So it is already pre-filtered. Everything is already done for you. All that you need to do was to click a button called troubleshoot an alert, right? And so that actually shows you all the alerts that are actually affecting. But if you remember what actually Debbie wanted to do was, how often is this happening? She actually wanted to look at a history or a trending of how often this particular alert actually happened. So I can actually go here and just do a, say, pet shop. and I filtered it to show PetShock, I can click on Show Inactive Alerts, and now in a single click, I can see that this specific issue that Debbie is investigating, it has happened multiple times, and these are all the times at which the failure has actually happened. So you not only were able to zoom in and look at only those items that were affected by this issue, you also have the ability to analyze the history using a single click. So again, this is all role-based access enabled. So if I am a tier one operator, I am configured as a tier one operator, the only thing that I can do is resume backup and look at this particular UI. I'll be completely locked down. If I'm a DPM admin, I can actually go ahead and do whatever I want. Okay. Let me actually minimize this. So what you actually saw was from spending 15 minutes, 30 minutes or more in trying to figure out how often something has happened, what are all the data sources that were affected, to get that history and trending, you are able to now do it in just about 10 seconds. You just select the alert, you click, you get a scoped console, you just click on show inactive alerts, and you can see your history, and it is all done within a very short amount of time. Right? And of course, the last point is what we actually talked about in the demo is the fact that the awareness of a ticketing system is not only there in Operations Manager, we bring it native to the DPM UI.
Good.
So this is going to be one of the last demos that we'll actually do for today before we actually break for kind of Q&A, right? And this is our own centralized management. Now, many of you are wondering, hey, this is all cool if you're actually having a centralized IT team. I'm looking at troubleshooting and alert and all of that. What if I actually want to remove a data source or add a data source, right? Adding a data source is actually automated by DPM when it comes to Hyper-V SQL. Rob, you talked about it in SQL instance level protection.
Mm-hmm.
And Hyper-V, you can actually enable auto protection for a cluster, for a host, right? Now, if you actually want to do any one of these change management tasks, obviously you don't want a tier one operator to actually go ahead and do that. You essentially want somebody who's delegated, who's probably a DPM admin who can actually do these change management tasks. So today, change management using DPM Central Console is very seamless. So let me actually go ahead and show you how you can do centralized change management with DPM. Okay. So before we actually get into the centralized change management, there's one thing which I actually want to show you guys is the DPM servers. So if you actually remember what you actually saw on the slide, which probably you won't, so let me actually recap that for you, is that there are many of you with DPM 2010 today. And when we actually asked you, how do you want centralized management to be, you clearly told us that I would love to upgrade to DPM 2012. But I have this DPM 2010 that is actually sitting there, and I need centralized management now, and can you help me through that migration process? So using centralized management that is with DPM 2012, not only can you manage DPM 2012 servers, you can also, as of day today, you can start managing your DPM 2010 servers as well. So using the same console, if you actually see here, one of these servers is actually a DPM 2010 server. Rob, is that DPM 04?
That's right.
Okay. So I can actually go ahead and select DPM 04, which is a DPM 2010 server, and I can click on Manage DPM Server. Now, this brings the full-fledged DPM management UI remotely on your console. So on your desktop, you just install the client-side components of SCOM and DPM, and now you have centralized management capability where you can open up the full-fledged console. Now, if you remember, this was not possible with DPM 2010. You need to do an RDP. Again, no more RDP, right? So you can actually do this remotely using the remote console. And this UI, Rob, if you noticed, this is the familiar DPM 2010 UI. Now, let me actually go ahead and dock that to the side. Okay. Server doesn't allow docking, probably?
Take it all the way over.
Okay. Right? So let me actually go ahead and select one of the DPM servers here and say manage DPM server. Now, this server, DPM 01, is a DPM 2012 server. right? Okay, so if you actually see, it's tough to see, let me actually do this this way. So this is the old UI where you actually had the tabs on top, this is the old DPM 2010 UI. Now with DPM 2012, the UI has actually gone a whole revamp and it is all how system center products actually look. And not only that, in this new UI, you actually have the ability, for example, if you are doing some filtering in the jobs, let me actually go ahead and show you that. There are many people who actually filter jobs, right? And they want to be able to switch between the various jobs very quickly. You can now do all of that right here in a single click. You don't have to go to a menu, a UI, choose what you, you can do it all in a single click. So what we saw here was the ability to remotely manage DPM 2010 and DPM 2012 using a full-fledged management console that opened up on your SCOM console itself, right?
So I don't have to upgrade any of my servers to start getting these benefits. I can just use the centralized management immediately with my existing 2010.
You can do that today. So all you need to do is have a license for DPM 2012, which you'll have if you have a license for System Center 2012. Just install the central console management pack, and there's a setup experience where you don't even need to go to operations manager to do the import of the management pack. All you need to do is next finish. You have the roles automatically coming inside operations manager. You have the management pack automatically imported. All of this is set up in a single, in a few clicks. Okay. So getting back to the demo, what we wanted to show was, so we actually saw how you can actually bring up the full-fledged UI. So here I'm going to take an example where I'm going to remove a data source from protection. So let's assume that I actually got a ticket. In fact, I think I have a ticket here. So this ticket is, hey, one of the database has actually been failing for backups for quite some time. And when the backup team pinged the SQL team, they told, you know what, that database is done for, we have migrated it away, you can actually go ahead and remove that from protection. You no longer need to back it up. So the backup team now has got a ticket saying, can you remove that from protection? And I want to show you how you can actually do it using centralized management. So this is the same stock trader DB. I'll actually go ahead and hopefully copy works now. Okay. I don't know whether. Okay, let me remember the name stock trader, right? So let me actually go to my operations manager console. I'll go to the search bar and type stock trader. Right? And I'm looking for the SQL data source because data source is the way in which DPM protects SQL. And what you see on top is how SQL itself is kind of monitoring that particular DB. So here, I can select the stock trader. I'm seeing a UI here. Just give me a second. So Rob, what I'm trying to do here is, I'm actually going to trying to bring up the data source tasks for the particular object. Let me actually see whether, okay. Let me go to the data source view here, right? Okay, I can get through with this way also. So I can actually go ahead and select that particular data source, and I can actually click on Manage Protection. So here my intent is, I am trying to manage the protection for this particular database. And one of the actions in being able to manage protection is to remove it from the protection. So I just click on Remove, right? So essentially, instead of you going to the DPM server and doing everything, you can sit on your SCOM console, select that particular object, and just click on Manage the Protection, and you can do it for a protected server. You can do it for a protection group. You can do it for a DPM server.
So when it brought up that the DPM window there, it automatically selected the item that you were working with.
Exactly.
Okay.
So seamless transfer of the context. So you don't lose context when you're moving from there to here. We could have easily done a job where click that, we open a remote UI, and you go ahead and search here. So we actually wanted to make sure that customers have a very integrated and seamless experience where in a couple of clicks, you can actually go ahead and get your job done. Now, I want to show you a last example where around alert categorization. So let me go to the alert views here. So this alert this view shows you all the alerts that are actually happening across of the DPM environment, right? And if you're a backup team, you essentially have people who are responsible for getting the backups up and running again. And you also have the backup administrators who are typically responsible to keep the agent healthy, the DPM storage pool healthy, so that backups can actually happen. Essentially, there's an infrastructure part, and there's the running the backup part, right? So if I'm a backup admin looking at keeping the infra up and running, what I can do is I can simply come to this view, which shows all infra alerts. So this is, again, an example where we help you cut down the time for you to manage your environment by automatically categorizing the alerts to suit your needs. And you can actually build your own categorization and views as well, right? So out of the box, I can actually look at all the infra alerts. And here I am seeing an alert saying the replica disk threshold has actually exceeded. Now, DPM has got a feature in DPM 2010 whereby you can actually go ahead and grow the data source storage automatically. You don't have to come and do it on demand. But there are cases where, Rob, you have actually seen some of those cases, right?
Yeah, so one of the things that I found is I've seen customers where they have a storage pool and they've got some very critical data sources they're protecting and some not quite so critical data sources, and they don't allow the storage allocation for the non-critical data sources to grow automatically. They don't want that to take the entire storage pool and maybe prevent their critical data sources from being protected.
Makes sense, right? And let's assume you're actually doing that and you see this alert. You have two choices. If you want to be proactive, you can actually go ahead and resolve the alert and take the corrective action, or you can actually let the backups fail and then come ahead and look at it. Now, it depends on the load that you're having on that day. Most often, you're actually buried on top of, you know, a bunch of critical alerts that have already happened. But in case you actually have the time and you have the ability to go ahead and do this, you can actually go ahead and resolve this alert by growing the replica volume size. And growing the replica volume size is an example of a change management action that you can actually go ahead and do. And that requires you to log on to the DPM server? No. We made a promise of no RDP. I'm going to keep that word up. So I'm going to select the alert here, and I say, take the recommended action. So I don't have to know what to do. If you look here, DPM actually knows what is it that needs to happen. Probably if you're trying to grow the storage, you need to give an input as to how much you want to grow it by. So we actually have the ability where you can actually just click on take the recommended action, and we will open a DPM console. No, we actually want to do something better here. So if it is a frequent action, we don't even want you to open a DPM console. We'll give you a high fidelity dialog that actually comes up in Operations Manager right then and here. And you can actually go ahead and change the storage and then click on OK, right?
So that one task will do different things based on the alert that you're actually
selecting. Okay. So if you actually have an alert that's actually different, the recommended action would be different. It will actually bring up a different recommended action. So you don't have to worry about what recommended action to actually take. Okay, so it'll take some time for this particular alert to go away, right? So let me switch back to the presentation and recap what is it that we actually saw. So what we actually saw was centralized change management possible using DPM 2012. No more RDP. It's better if the experience doesn't even open up a remote console, or in the worst case, it can open up a console, but it won't ask you to move to the DPM server. And all the frequent actions you want to do, add a data source, remove a data source, add a protected server, remove it, enable, disable, you know, agents, tape drives, tape libraries. We actually have a bunch of stuff. All of those actions are available from the remote console itself. So for those folks who are already familiar with Operations Manager, you might be wondering, hey, you know what? All of this looks good. Hopefully you're sold that this is actually not a management pack. All those dialogues that you're seeing, the intelligence, the seamless flow of the context from the Operations Manager, from Service Manager to DPM, all of that is possible because we are using Ops Manager as a platform to deliver the centralized management. right? Now let's actually look at the infra improvements that actually happen. Certificate based protection with DPN 2010, you can go ahead and protect it, but you needed to set up, you know, kind of passwords that kind of matched on both the servers to do it. With DPN 2012, you can kind of use certificates to actually get it done. And it's possible that you have a heterogeneous environment where for some of the machines you are using password based authentication, for some you are using domain authentication, for some you are using certificate based authentication, you can do all of that. And you actually have one certificate for a DPM server and one certificate for each of the protected server, and you need to kind of import the certificate into a particular store, and DPM TechNet documentation kind of covers all of these steps in detail. You just run a couple of scripts here and you are actually kind of set up.
So this is very similar to the way that Operations Manager supports work group agents as well.
Yes. Now, when it comes to tape, previously we couldn't share multiple protection groups to use the same tape. Now we have actually improved the co-location factor here so that multiple protection groups can go to the single tape. And also, as a feedback that we have actually received from a bunch of you using tape backups, when you kill a tape job, it used to cancel all the related jobs on the tape side with DPN 2010. Whereas with DPN 2012, you can actually selectively kill just a single tape job. So it actually helps you have a much more manageable experience on top. And also, there's been a bunch of improvements around tape backups that we have done in DPN 2012. Lastly, generic data source support. So how many of you are actually familiar with the VSS Express Writer framework? I actually had a bet with Rob saying that if there are five people who are familiar, probably, you know, I'll take him out for dinner. So essentially, what we actually have is the capability that if you have a line of business application, you can go ahead and use DPM to back it up. Currently, that support is available for VMM 2012. We are focusing on Microsoft apps. At this point, there are no third-party applications yet, but there will be partners who are kind of building support for third-party applications in the near future. So if you actually have a VSS writer, pretty much you will have a first-class experience. You'll show up in the UI with your own application name. In the recovery UI, you will actually show up with your application name, and you have a full fidelity solution using the generic data source support. You can see on the screen a bunch of recovery options and other things that we actually support using this particular framework. And VMM 2012, so you'll actually see VMM 2012 appear as a first-class node in DPM protection. So for our next rev, we'll not only show Exchange SQL SharePoint, we'll also start up showing VMM 2012, and you'll see it in the UI, in the recovery operations, and so forth. So you can now start protecting VMM 2012 with the DPM. So at this point, I would like to break for Q&A. That actually covers kind of what we actually had for you. So to give you a recap, we actually had an intro about DPM. Then we actually got much more in depth with centralized management. Essentially, the fact that you don't have to do RDP, everything is remote. You press a single button to actually get your backups running, and it's all done remotely, right? So if you have any questions, I kindly request you to step up to the mic because this is getting recorded, and somebody on the webcast can also kind of hear that. Please go ahead.
So I understand DPM has a dependency on VSS, and VSS has a dependency on what kind of operating system drives the storage. Can you please clarify for the audience what kinds of storage devices are supported for DPM and which kinds are not?
Let me see whether I got the question straight. You're wondering what storage devices are actually supported using DPM? So DPM actually supports direct attached storage and SAN. And with Windows 8, probably we might actually expand that to NAS.
So today it's any block
level storage supported by Windows. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know if that answers my question. Does it also support, you know, storage area network devices that are not, you know, driven by Windows OS? Perhaps, you know, Unix attached? Does it have to be in TFS? Can you please go a little bit more granular? Perhaps if you could clarify for us what is not supported, that might be more helpful.
Okay. I don't think I have a ready-made answer for what is not supported because that might be a whole bunch actually out there. What we do support is where you can actually expose a disk, it can be even a VHD sitting on any of the SAN appliance, but as long as there is NTFS there, we actually support it. So that's where our limitation is today. Please, sir.
So a similar question about types of volumes that are supported. My scenario is backing up Hyper-V, so I'm curious about iSCSI-mounted volumes, pass-through volumes, the various ways that you can attach Hyper-V to storage. And then a second part of the same question is, what's the scenario for backing up VHD-based Hyper-V machines when you have a single, for example, SAN volume with many VHDs on it?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the second question. Rob?
Yeah, so I didn't catch the second part either, so if you could repeat that.
So the second part is how to handle the scenario of backing up a VHD-based Hyper-V machine when it is stored on a SAN volume potentially that has more than one Hyper-V.
Yeah, so for Hyper-V, any storage type that Hyper-V supports, placement of a VHD for running a VM, we also support with DPM. Right? So if it's iSCSI, if it's SAN, if it's local attached storage, we support all of those types in Hyper-V in Windows Server 2008 R2 today. If the VHD is on the SAN, that's block level storage to Windows. We support that. And anything, any Hyper-V supported storage type, we can back up using DPM.
So you do not need to. So you don't need to activate VSS at the host level. You do it at the guest level.
We can do either. So the question is: do we use VSS through the host or through the guest? We can do either. Right, so if you have the agent on the host, we can back up the VM. If you have the agent in the guest, we can back up a data source from within the guest. So if you've got SQL or Exchange or whatever's running that guest, and we can do both as well. Right, so you can protect the entire VM as well as separately protect the data source from within the VM. Either or both, they all work. That answer the question?
I'm not sure if it does or not. I've run into scenarios where in attempting to back up the VM, the guest, through the host, if that VM is on a volume which also hosts other VHDs, there is a problem. Essentially, the VSS timeout window may not be large enough if that volume also contains other things not related to that VM. Mm. Does that make sense?
Right. Essentially, the redirection, the snapshot actually takes a bunch of time to actually complete and causes VSS timeout. So if you're using, I would highly recommend that if you're using a SAN to power your Hyper-V, the SAN provider probably supports hardware snapshots. And if you enable hardware snapshots, you're actually going to get your backups done very quickly. If you're using software snapshot, which is the wall snap-based snapshots available for free with the Windows Server, you're going to take quite some time to actually complete the snapshot. So the solution for you would be to use the hardware snapshots.
We are using hardware snapshots, but they're still on the hardware, so they still have to be backed up.
Okay. So I can give you my card. We can actually follow up and figure out what's the specific issue you're having with that. Welcome.
I'm going to hop in over here. What capabilities does DPM 2012 have without SCOM? Because that's great for the organizations that do have a SCOM infrastructure, but what do we lose if we take SCOM out of the picture?
So if you don't have SCOM, you are losing out on centralized management. Other than that, the entire value prop of 2010 plus the workload enhancements. We actually talked about SharePoint item level restore. So previously with 2010, you needed to move the entire SharePoint database and then pick out an item. That is done automatically by DPM, but it actually involved movement of large amount of data. With 2012, we have highly optimized SharePoint item level recovery, where if you actually pick out a document out from a SharePoint farm, we actually mount the DB from inside DPM on a SQL instance and let you pick only that. And all the other enhancements in tape and the infra enhancements in terms of certificate-based protection, all of them are for you if you're a DPM 2012 customer. So what you saw here today, if you subtract centralized management, that's what you get.
Okay.
You do still have the ability to use a remote console. So the no RDP part still applies. Okay. So you still have the ability to say, I want to connect to a DPM server, no operations manager here, and it will bring up a console connected to that server. It's not multiple DPM servers in one console, it's one console per server, but it's still a remote console, so we still remove the need to RDP to the server to do any kind of administration.
Excellent, thank you.
Hi, are there any improvements with the reporting capabilities specific to like compliance and historical data?
The only report that we are actually kind of adding is a centralized backup SLA report. We are not adding any specific report around auditing yet. Okay. But the good news is that all the metadata about DPM is all in SCOM at this particular point in time because of our integration. Right. So it's possible that somebody can actually, if you're familiar with how to write a report on top of SCOM,
right,
you can actually go ahead and run a report for the DPM environment on top of Operations Manager.
Okay, so it's still the same concept of scheduling a report job and then keeping it for a duration of...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I got the last one on direct-to-tape stuff. You had just the one little tidbit up there saying it's a lot better. Is there some place where I can go to get more information? Because in DPM 2010, direct-to-tape stinks real bad. And I'm looking for a lot more improvement and more consistency in line with the rest of, because like SQL backups and all the application stuff were great, but large-scale terabyte file servers and stuff like that, not so much. So...
Thanks for the question. So one thing is we actually have TechNet documentation available for 2012 that is supposed to capture all the improvements that have happened. So what I can actually do is figure out whether what you're looking for is actually there in the documentation. If not, I can work with you to give that information offline.
We use DPM 2010 to back up a bunch of servers that are running DPM 2010 agents. If we were to spin up a 2012 server, would we be able to tell it to replicate and be the backup DPM guy for those 2010 guys?
So that's a great question. So when you're doing an upgrade from 2010 to 2012, one thing is it's actually a seamless upgrade, meaning that all the backups that you already have taken with 2010, you can still go ahead and do a recovery using that, using 2012. So in that way, it is actually seamless. And when it actually comes to upgrading, you will actually have to upgrade the DPM 2012 server, and then the agents, you need to kind of push them out.
I think the question, and correct me if I'm wrong, was also, can I use a DPM 2012 server as a secondary DPM server with the DPM 2010 as a primary?
Was that the question?
That was also in there, yes.
Okay. So unfortunately, the answer for that would be no. If you're using a primary DPM server backing up to a secondary DPM server, they need to be running the same version. So it needs to be 2010, 2010, or 2012, 2012.
So we would basically upgrade the 2010 to a 2012, and as part of that, we would probably wind up upgrading the agents out there. And then
right,
once we do that, we'd be good to go, but it's seamless enough that we don't have to worry about going, oh crap, all my backups are gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
If I go down that road, can I lead the way and go to DPM 2012 before the SCOM guys get their stuff together? Because they'll take forever.
I'm sorry, I quite didn't get the question.
Can you do DPM 2012 before you do Operations Manager 2012? Does the central console work with Operations Manager 2007 R2?
Not with 2007 R2.
Oh, that's fine. I want the improvements of the DPM.
You can go ahead and do that. So you're not dependent on the Operations Manager team to do your DPM 2012 upgrade. You can actually go ahead and upgrade to DPM 2012. The only thing you use them is the multi-server management in SCOM. So you can actually do this upgrade, you know, orthogonal to this upgrade that's actually going to happen. Thank you.
Hi. I would like to know if instead of using tapes as removable backup media, can we use USB external drives in order to do that removable stuff?
The answer would still be no. It was not possible in 2010. I don't think that has actually changed with 2012.
Okay.
So we actually need a device that appears as a fixed device to Windows.
Okay.
So that VSS, the snapshotting technology that we depend on, can actually work on that. So.
Okay, but not even to replace the tape? I mean, it has to be fixed in order to right. BSS to recognize it. Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot, folks. And it was nice actually interacting with you. Thank you.
Thanks.